men, women, children? Are we going to put ourselves under the authority of God's word? Are we going to believe what God says so clearly he means and is right? Or will we rebel and reject God's word and not submit to the authority again of what he says? Again, that's the first step, loved ones.
Time again today for Live in the Light. My name's Shannon, and I am talking with you today from our studio with Pastor Robbie as we step into a new series called Unless the Lord Builds the House. And Robbie, we are not holding back on this one. We are starting strong and convicting with a message on marriage.
Yes, marriage. Unless the Lord builds my marriage, let's go. So we're going to focus on what the Bible focuses on, specifically as it pertains to Ephesians chapter 5. So we're going to have a message for the wives. And then we're going to have a message for the husbands. So again, husbands, when it's not your turn, stay humble. And wives, when it's not your turn, I also recommend stay humble. But hey, this is going to be controversial in the sense of we're going right into the heart of what our society likes and doesn't like. And I'm excited to do that because we need the truth. It's the truth that sets us free. God's design for marriage is absolutely spectacular and awesome. When we do it his way, we win and we are blessed. And that's what I hope will happen through these messages right now. So again, a little bit controversial. Yes, praise the Lord. But I hope tremendously encouraging. Praise the Lord. So Shannon, we should get after it. And we start doing this message again, specifically speaking to wives.
Yes. And please don't cut us off if you're not a wife right now. Because maybe you will be someday, or maybe you have been at some point, or maybe you know a wife and you could share some wisdom, because God wrote a book for us to read and his word is clear. So let's get rolling. Unless the Lord builds my marriage, from Ephesians chapter 5.
Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. You can keep your Bible open in Ephesians 5 until next week, because we're going to be there for part 2, Lord willing as well, and just carry on from where we end today. Of course, we're continuing in our series on the home, our series title, as it says this, The Lord Must Build Our House. The Lord must build our house. Hey, I just want to remind you, in this series, we're not interested in the advice or the design for our homes from the world. We're not interested at all. We are very, very interested in the Lord's wisdom and the Lord's design for the house and for the home. We desperately need the wisdom of God, and that's why we're here again, really just going so much against the culture of our day, but we're delighting again in the truth of God's word as we do so. One of the areas the Lord is very interested in giving us his wisdom. It's just good for us to say some things out loud too, right? Like God really, really wants us to have his wisdom in terms of our lives, and he's doing that again for us today. He's not trying to win over the culture. He's trying to transform hearts and to result in his own glory. So one of the areas he's very interested in giving us his wisdom is regards, of course, to marriage. I want to remind you, or maybe inform you for the first time, when you come to the Bible, scriptures, the word of God, the Bible begins explaining to us that the first cosmos, this earth, the first cosmos was created for the marriage of Adam and Eve. I want you to think about that. That's the reality. The earth was formed, and it was ultimately formed to dwell again, Adam and Eve and humanity, in the context of a marriage between a man and a woman. I also want you to realize, or maybe you haven't thought of this before, that the second cosmos, which is the new heavens and the new earth, the second cosmos will also be created for a marriage between Christ and his church. So think about that. The Bible begins and ends with marriage. The wraparound concept for all the scriptures is the idea of marriage. And so God cares so much about marriage. So the fundamental question then is that we would want to ask, what does marriage look like, again, that the Lord builds? If the Lord builds a marriage, what does this marriage look like? We're going to answer these questions, as I said, in two parts. Week number one is for wives, and week number two is going to be for husbands. We start today with wives because that's what comes first in Ephesians chapter 5. A word of advice from me to husbands today. If you're a husband here or you're a man here, I would stay quiet, okay? I would advise you to just not say anything. Your turn is coming, And trust me, your turn is coming. So I would just say, keep your mouth closed and you can let me do the talking for you. We trust the Holy Spirit will lead us in that way as well. Our sermon title then is this today. Listen, Unless the Lord Builds My Marriage, part one for wives. Unless the Lord Builds My Marriage, part one for wives. I also want to say this too right now, okay? Both parts are essential. I'll say that many times today. You cannot just hear part one and you cannot just hear part two. You got to hear one and two. They go together. We don't have all the time today to unpack both one and two in Ephesians 5. But again, it is absolutely essential that you hear part one and you come back or listen to part two. Again, you cannot separate them. They are absolutely, essentially go together as in God's word and again, his instruction for our lives. So let's start here, Ephesians 5. I want you to look at, let's start with verse 20. Verse 20 says this, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now he breaks down what does mutual submission look like? What does submission look like? Again, in various aspects of the reality of our lives. He starts off with marriage, husbands and wives. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ, notice, is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, it's hard for us to read a passage that's more countercultural than the one that we just read. I mean, even as I read it, we feel a bit of tension, don't we? I mean, just like even as we read it, we're like, wow, we don't hear this a lot in the days that we live or ever hear it outside again in everyday society and culture. Now, what we must remember though, just some fundamental understanding and truths. What we must remember is this truth we just read has not changed since it was written. It has not changed since God wrote it, since the Holy Spirit again inspired human authors to put it down. So what has changed? Well, what has changed since this was written is culture. Culture has changed. And culture again has changed. And really, in many ways, the vast amount of change as pertaining to the truth we read in this passage right here has actually just taken place in the last few decades. You can easily argue that until the 1960s with the rise of the feminist movement, this stuff really wasn't under question. It's just been the last several decades that culture and the warp speed of society and this new understanding of all the things that we used to know, again, as generations, not saying perfectly, but certainly a historical look at that is true. It's good for us to be aware of that as well. So the fundamental question we're asking, and then this truth has not changed since it was written. It is the very design of God. We have to really ask ourselves this question as we start. Who is smarter and wiser? Who is smarter and wiser? Is it the infinitely wise and fallible God? Or is it the sinful, fallen, and broken society? Who's smarter? Man, that's really the question for this entire series. Am I going to build my life upon the infinitely wise, infallible, all-knowing God and what he says so clearly in his word? Or I'm going to reject the infinitely wise God and I will pursue a path on my own following the lack of wisdom from a sinful, fallen, and broken society? That really is the crux of our entire series. And you have to decide. Because a lot of people are going with the world, led by the prince of the power of the air called Satan. And they're flowing down the easy road, full out stream of culture and society, leading to death and destruction. But for those who follow Jesus Christ, who love the Lord Jesus Christ, they submit to the authority of his word and the reality of God's wisdom. And they understand God knows his ways work. I may not always understand perfectly in my own heart and mind, but I'm trusting in God again that he has written these things down for my best interest and resulting in his greatest glory. That is the fundamental thing that we're trying to decide again in this series with every issue that we bring up. So the first point then is this, when the Lord builds a marriage, we learn this today, number one, wives will believe in the beauty of submission. When the Lord builds a marriage, wives will believe in the beauty of submission. Now, someone will ask me, Robbie, why do you start there? Well, because the Bible starts there. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, how much clearer can God's word be here? When it comes to a wife a genuinely saved, Christ-centered Christian, again, wife, when it comes to a wife who is beautiful in the Lord, when it comes to a wife who is precious in the sight of God, 1 Peter 3, she knows and she fully knows, listen, that submission is the will of God. She knows that. She doesn't try to fight against that truth. She understands that biblical submission results in glory to God. Now, some are saying right now, well, that's easy to say, but that's not enough. You're saying, I need to understand why. I so agree with that statement. We're going to ask and answer questions like this. Why is submission so often treated as the S word? But also, why is submission supernaturally beautiful? And it is. In its context, in the combination, we're going to say this a ton today, the combination of Ephesians 5, of a husband who loves his wife as Christ loves the church, essentially imperative, and then submission takes on a whole new look. A wife who submits to Christ, a husband again loving his wife, Christ loves the church, man, you have a supernaturally beautiful marriage. Why is submission beautiful? Well, let's answer according to our text. We have a few subpoints here on the screen beside me, behind me. Why is submission beautiful? One, because it's as to the Lord. Because it's as to the Lord. That's fundamental in our text. Look at verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. The most important words there are in that phrase, as to the Lord. So submission is ultimately rooted in the glory of God. That's what that's saying right there. The wife that believes in submission is the wife that believes in Christ and his will. Wives, submit to your husbands, again, as, why? Because as to the Lord. So again, fundamental, I love bottom lining things. I love being as clear as we possibly can be. In other words then, to reject submission so clearly is to reject the Lord. It's to reject the will of God. Because wives will submit, again, as to the Lord, as it says right here. This is fundamentally about the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, okay, but I need to know more. Again, I agree. What this verse is teaching is that the submission of the wife is ultimately rooted in her submission to the Lord Jesus Christ first. And again, fundamentally, let's understand what's happening here. God's word is very clear. So for all of us right now, we have to decide, are we going to fundamentally submit to Jesus Christ and his word? Am I going to submit, all of us, men, women, children, are we going to put ourselves under the authority of God's word? Are we going to believe what God says so clearly he means and is right? Or will we rebel and reject God's word and not submit to the authority again of what he says? Again, that's the first step, loved ones. The first step is we see what God's word is saying. Will I submit under this or will I follow a sinful, broken society? Those who submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is where it begins for a husband again or for a wife as well. Fundamentally, before this is an act of love towards her husband, before that, and more importantly, this is an act of submission to the Lord Jesus Christ from a wife and her love and adoration for the Lord Jesus Christ as well. That's where this begins. Why is submission beautiful? Because it's as to the Lord. Now, I'm going to ask the women and wives to be patient today. There's a lot of clarity coming. There's a lot of theology and application coming in this marriage, but I'm trying to lay a foundation again as to why submission is beautiful. The first thing we see, because it's as to the Lord. This is about the woman, the wife, before the Lord, before anything else. Secondly, why is submission beautiful? Because it's a timeless command. Look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself his savior or its savior. So this is so beautiful when it's properly understood, okay? The God-given authority to the husband over his home. And the explanation for this is because Christ, even as Christ, is the head of the church. Now, what I need you to see in verse 23, notice this is not a cultural argument. This is a timeless command. As the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. The moment Paul by the Holy Spirit says, even as Christ is the head of the church, we learn here this design by God, this command by God, this instruction, this doesn't change with each generation. This doesn't change with each century. This doesn't change with cultural tides, ebbs and flows. This doesn't change with nations. This doesn't change no matter what. This is rooted in a timeless, eternal command, ultimately relating to Christ and his church. So we see here, this just doesn't go with whatever fad society is following. This is rooted in the very design of God, again, going back even to the reality of eternity. Now, the example is, the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. How is Christ the head of the church? How does he lead? Christ leads with love. He leads with guidance. He protects. He provides. He comforts. He cares. He has compassion. Again, he loves. He loves extraordinarily, supernaturally, his church. And this is how the husband is to lead his wife. Again, I'm telling you, part two next week, man, part two is essential for everything that's happening here today as well. We need to take both, again, as they go together. I also want you to see this, the context in Ephesians 5, right? So the husband's head of the wife, Christ is head of the church. But in Ephesians 5, we learn here in verse 18, Ephesians 5, verse 18, can you see it there? It says, but be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. Here we see then the reality that when you have believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is for all believers, not just obviously those who are married, for those who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the expectation is, listen, you give me a husband filled with the Spirit of God. You give me a wife filled with the Spirit of God. You give me a marriage that's gonna be supernaturally beautiful in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're filled with the Spirit. You're bearing the fruit of the Spirit. You're filled with the Spirit. Man, you are pursuing righteousness. You are rejecting sin. You give me a husband filled with God's Spirit. You give me a wife filled with God's Spirit, and it's going to be good, and it's going to be exciting. You look at verse 21, though, again, as the context unfolds, filled with God's Spirit, verse 21, and then submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So Paul, by the Holy Spirit now, is introducing this idea of submission, which every single one of us must, again, partake in one way or another. We are all submitting to the authority that God has given to us in our lives. And what Paul does by the Holy Spirit now, he breaks down, well, what does submission look like in three specific categories of our lives that affect us every day. He starts with husband and wives. He goes to parents and children as Ephesians 6 starts, and he ends with masters and servants, the workplace. And he details submission in each of those three categories. He begins right here though with the home, the family, the marriage again of a husband and wife, and specifically as it relates to wives and their husbands. I want to point this out too, okay? Whenever a genuine Christian marriage goes wrong, whenever, every single time that a Christian marriage goes wrong and starts to suffer, one of two things has happened, 100% guaranteed. Either the husband has failed to submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the wife has failed to submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single time a marriage starts to fall apart and starts to suffer, either the husband or the wife or both have failed to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. They have failed to spend time with Jesus. They have failed to spend time in his word. They have failed to listen to his instruction. They have gone their own way. They have followed the pathway of sin. They have rejected the pathway of God. Every single time a marriage goes wrong, it's that simple. Again, it's deep, but it is that simple. There's a failure to submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible's telling us right here is when a husband is doing what Christ has commanded him to do in the strength he provides, and when a woman or a wife is doing what the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded her to do in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit under Jesus Christ, then you have a recipe for beauty and joy and glory. Why submission? Because it's as to the Lord, it's a timeless command, and thirdly, we see this because it is the design of God. Why is submission beautiful? Because it's the design of God. Again, look at verse 24. It says, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Okay, so well, that's loaded. Now wives, don't panic, okay? Context is coming, okay? Patience, patience. I want you to notice this, okay? When it means that wives are to submit in everything, again, to their husbands, essentially it means this. It means that there are no areas of your life that are hidden from your husband. There's no area of your life that you have compartments. Well, this is mine. No, you're one flesh together. Who you are is, again, unveiled and fully clear, again, for husband and wife to see, again, within one another. A way to look at this is this way, too. So the church is not subject to Christ in certain areas, but then off from their own in others. That doesn't work. The church is not like, okay, Jesus, you can have this part, but this part's all ours and forget it. No, the church is like fully, again, presenting itself fully to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what a marriage should look like. There's nothing hidden or this part you don't get, you know, any say in whatever it is. And so what we're learning here in verse 24, what this becomes again, is a biblical understanding of God-ordained roles. And let me state emphatically here at this point of this message too, these commands here in Ephesians 5, particularly verses 22 to 24, they have nothing to do with inequality or inferiority. Nothing. I got to be as clear as I can about that. Let me stay in the positive. Men and women are 100% equal under God. Men and women are 100% equal under God. But listen, listen, but they are not the same. This is not an issue of equality. It's an issue of sameness. And that's key. And there's a distinction. I mean, have you looked at men and women recently? They're different. They're different. I don't care what it says there. They're different. They're different. Look at a man, look at a woman. They are created and designed differently. Praise God, amen, praise God. Like that's glory, that's awesome. That is what God intended again. And it is very, very clear. You will never be able to change the reality of creation. Men and women, fully equal. Listen, not the same. Praise God, we're not the same. That's so good. I'm so excited we're not the same. But we're fully equal. A powerful biblical explanation of this is found in the Trinity itself. The Trinity, one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Fully, fully equal. Listen, not the same. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not the same. Let's take it in terms of salvation. The Father plans salvation. Jesus, the Son, executes the plan of salvation. And the Holy Spirit applies the reality of salvation in our lives. All God, not the same. Furthermore, the Son submits to the Father. Like literally this morning in my Bible readings, I was in Matthew 26. I didn't think of this until last service I was preaching. I'm like, oh yeah, this morning. And I read this morning, Matthew 26, and Jesus says, again, he's agonizing in the garden. He's contemplating crucifixion. He's contemplating bearing the weight of sin on our behalf. And he says, Father, is there any other way? But not my will, your will be done. Submission, fully God, submission to the Father. The Holy Spirit submits to the Father and the Holy Spirit submits to the Son. Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit again to be our comfort and our helper again when Jesus Christ ascends to heaven. Say it again, in the Trinity, beautiful and awesome. All God, not an issue of equality, an issue of sameness. And they submit, again, there is submission from the Son to the Father, submission from the Holy Spirit to the Father and the Son. And that's a beautiful way to understand and picture again, the equality within a marriage, but not the same. There's a difference in roles to the glory of God. At this stage, I want to take several moments to understand, this is very important for this time, the message, to understand what biblical submission is not. And these will be, again, on the screen beside me and behind me here. Number one, let's understand this. Biblical submission is not about inferiority. We just covered that in detail. Number two is this. Biblical submission is not to men in general. If you look at verse 22, it says, wives, submit to your own husband. Okay, so this is very clear. 1 Peter 3 also says this as well. This is a command then of submission within marriage only. Now, we are all commanded to submit to our authorities and to submit to our leaders. I understand all that. But this specific command of a woman to a man is only within marriage, okay? In the context of marriage, right? So in my marriage, my wife, Jill, she is called and commanded to submit to the leadership, again, in my home. My wife is not called to submit to any other man in the room the same way. Praise God for that. All right. That's between her and I in the context and same where you are right now. Again, this is again in the context of a marriage and one home. Thirdly, biblical submission is never following your husband into sin ever. So as to the Lord, verse 22 also means Christ will never ask you to disobey his commands or will. Make sure we understand that so clearly. Jesus Christ will never ask you to disobey his command. He will never ask you to sin. So any husband that leads or pressures his wife into sin, let me be as clear as I can, he's a spiritual fraud. Any husband that seeks to lead his wife against the will of God and specifically into sin is a total doofus and a spiritual fraud. That is not biblical submission. Fourthly, biblical submission, ladies, is not losing your personality or denying your giftedness. The beauty of a biblical marriage is the complement of the two becoming one flesh. It's so powerful. It's so beautiful. It's just so awesome. Every single woman brings into marriage wisdom, intellect, giftedness, expertise, incredible beauty and competency, again, into every marriage. No longer I married, my wife and I were about to, Lord willing, come up to 25 years this coming June. And one of the things that I often marvel and say to my wife, Jill, I just say, you are a gift to me. You are, in a way that I couldn't possibly understood, you're one. You know, because you just see God's design. You see strengths and weaknesses, and you see strengths and weaknesses. You see the strengths come together, and you're like, man, like, so in 2003, we met with leaders in Chicago for the idea of planting this church. They met me, and they were like, yeah, there's some things we like, but they also had some hesitancies. They met Jill. They're like, okay, you're good. You know, and Jill's here right now. She was like, oh, no, trust me. Trust me, that happened. I saw it in their eyes, and I heard it from their lips. Like, but they were smart, because they're looking for it. Like, Rob, you got some strengths. You got some weaknesses, bro, right? But then they met my wife, and they're like, okay, God has equipped your wife to come in with tremendous competencies to complement you, and we like your chances of making it into the future. That's how God works. One of the things, too, is just like, for me, like, again, the longer I'm married, and I pray that this is where you are as well, because it's just so, it's so encouraging. But I look at my, I look at her, her counsel, her wisdom. I go to her again with so many questions. I want to talk through things. I appreciate again what she brings to our home and the way that she's a mother to my children and just her expertise in so many areas. I marvel. I often just marvel and just say, what could I do? I couldn't do this. I could not do this. By God's design, I don't know if the future is going to hold. But as of right now, I see God's design, particularly for our lives in this place and in this ministry. Let me just say this too. If you have any appreciation for, again, the ministry here at Hope Oakville in any regards to me, man, you better have an appreciation for my wife, Jill. She's behind the scenes. She's never seen. She is absolutely essential to everything, again, I can do and who I am. And that's how God has designed it. Women are absolutely wonderful and beautiful and essential and powerful and so needed. Listen, by the design of God. Now, man, when you say these things to your wife, think she'll be mad at you? I don't think so. And Jill might be a little embarrassed right now. I'm doing it publicly, right? Right? That might happen a little bit. But at the end of the day, man, there's not a woman in the world that doesn't want to hear the reality of, like, you are such a gift from God to my life by the design of God, and I'm so much better because the two become one, and to see what God can do. I love talking about this stuff because it's just so right. Fifthly, biblical submission is not the husband is always right. Sorry, men. That's not what this is. A biblical marriage, as I just explained, decides together, values shared wisdom. Yes, the husband leads. Yes. So big on that. Listen, how does he lead? Well, that's all next week. But he leads with love. He leads with sacrifice. He leads in selflessness. He leads in sanctifying love. He cherishes. That's how the husband is to lead. He treasures the wisdom of his wife.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Rob, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca. or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light.